me ask you one thing. Do you know how to worry? Mukhang konti lang, mabuti pa kayo. Hindi kayo marunong mag-worry. So let me again ask you, do you know how to worry? Okay. And I read an article at Huffington Post. It says that 85% of our worry or what we worry about never happens. And here's the article. It says, lo and behold, it turns out that 85% of what subjects worried about never happened. And with the 15% that did happen, look at the statistics, 79% of subjects discovered either they could handle the difficulty better than expected, or the difficulty taught them a lesson worth learning. So this means that 97%, okay, 97% of what you worry over is not much more than a fearful mind punishing you with exaggerations and misperceptions. And here's the reality. Most of us, or should I say, all of us, including myself, we tend to worry so much about so many things in life. And perhaps, like me, you can get help, but always think of what could happen. What could happen tomorrow, or with regards to our situation, and based on experience, indeed, it's true that sometimes what I worry about never happened at all. So in essence, it just means that we spend more time worrying and it just adds up to our stress. So why not, instead of worrying, why not let's start praying? Because the Bible says, why worry when you can pray? Why worry when you can pray? Let's look at that at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. And may I invite all of you to please stand and let's open our Bibles at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Again, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. The Word of God says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the reading of your word. And we ask, Father, that may your Holy Spirit move mightily, Lord God, in this place, in each one of us, so that, Lord, we can understand that instead of worrying, Lord, we should start praying. And we should start to let go and trust you, our God Almighty. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Please be seated. So today is a series break in the book of James because, remember, starting tomorrow up to March 3, this is what we call our church prayer and fasting. Okay, so February 26 up to March 3, that would be our prayer and fasting as a church. And on March 3, let me remind you that we will culminate our prayer and fasting week on March 3. So I hope and pray that all of you will be here on March 3. That will be on Saturday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Okay, March 3, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. so that we can pray together. Let's join our hearts and our hands together and let us pray as a church for our country, for our church, for our denomination, and including our personal needs. Because it's good that we can minister to one another. Did you know that Pastor Erwin is not just the minister here in GCF Nuvali? Each one of you is also a minister. You can minister to one another by praying for one another. So can we do that on Saturday, March 3? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay. Sinabi nyo yan, ha? So nandito tayo on Saturday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. So in our passage today, we will learn that prayer is the antidote to worry. The scripture gives an order to believers to pray and not to worry. And at the same time, the scripture also gave us the outcome when we pray. And that is the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Now, the book of Philippians was written around AD 60 to 62. It was written by the Apostle Paul. And during that time, 60 to 62, persecution is already starting. We all know that during the mid-60s, that is really persecution, nandiyan na po yung panahon ni Nero. It was the time of Nero. So the mid-60s, the Christians are really being persecuted. But during this time, persecution is already starting in what we call the Roman colony. So this is, and the Apostle Paul was actually in prison when he wrote the book of Philippians, including Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. So that is why Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon, we call it the prison letters, because he was in prison when he wrote this letter. How did we know that? Let's look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 7. It says here, "It is right for me," that is the Apostle Paul talking here, "it is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment," that's why we know that he is in prison, "both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel." And also in chapter 1, verse 13, Paul said, "My imprisonment is for Christ." So the reason why he is in prison is because of the preaching of the gospel. So it is because of persecution. That is why the Apostle Paul was in prison. So take note of that. The one who wrote this, the one who said, "Do not be anxious," or "Do not worry," okay, the one who wrote that is actually in prison when he wrote this letter. And he is also encouraging the church at Philippi, because they are also experiencing persecution. Okay. Now let's establish the immediate context of our passage in chapter 4. The Apostle Paul gave actually four injunctions or four commands in this passage. In chapter 4, when he said in verse 4, that this is the first command, okay, that in the midst of persecution, he said, "Rejoice always." Remember, the one who is in prison, he is encouraging those who are outside of prison, and yet he say, "Rejoice always." That's the first command. Second, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone." And then the third command, "Do not be anxious," or "Do not worry." The fourth command is, "Let your requests be made known to God." So we will just concentrate on the last two. Do not worry, and let your requests be made known to God. Now, what is the link with all of this command? And at the middle part, the Apostle Paul said, in verse 5, "The Lord is at hand." So in view that the Lord is at hand, or the Lord is near to us, this is what we need to do. Rejoice always. Let your reasonableness be made known to others. Do not worry, and you pray. Stop worrying and start praying. That is why one commentary has said, "The Lord who will soon return is the Lord who once came close to humanity." And it was explained by the Apostle Paul also in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. "As actually to share the human lot, and who, though absent now in body, is still near us, near at hand in his spirit, to guide, to instruct, to encourage, to infuse with strength, to assist, and to transform, and to renew." That is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is near us. He is right beside us. So why worry? Why worry when you can pray? We can pray. Now, in view of this truth, let's look at the order of the Apostle Paul. He said, "Do not worry. Pray and do not worry. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Again, we will just concentrate on the last two commands of the Apostle Paul. So remember, where the Apostle Paul when he wrote these things. Because perhaps we cannot say that perhaps the Apostle Paul is in a better position. That is why he can say all of these things. Because I remember, I think two Fridays ago, when I listened at the Heartline, hindi po ako makapunta doon dahil sa dami ng ginagawa ko ngayon. So nakikinig na lang ako doon sa dalawa kong kasama. They are discussing about worry. And someone actually called there and he asked them, "Perhaps you don't experience anything, you don't experience hardship, that's why you can easily say, 'Do not worry.'" And then, of course, the host, Pastor Mark Sosmeña and Pastor Eric Cortez, also shared their troubles in life. That all of us are actually experiencing troubles, and including the Apostle Paul. So we cannot say that perhaps the Apostle Paul is in a better place, better position, that's why he can simply say, do not worry, but instead pray. Remember, he was in prison when he wrote this letter. So kung yung isang tao na pwedeng mag-worry, si Apostle Paul na yon. Because anytime, okay, anytime during his imprisonment, he can be executed. And he indeed was executed around AD 64 to 65. He was beheaded of persecution. So the person who wrote this, actually he has this worry. And also the one he wrote, the Philippi, they are also experiencing troubles or persecution at that time. And yet he said, rejoice always. Do not worry. So again, Paul was in prison. He did nothing wrong, but it was because of the gospel. Now, perhaps the Apostle Paul remembered the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. That even though we are experiencing troubles in life, remember, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples not to worry. In Matthew chapter 6, if you have your Bibles with you, open it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 onwards. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, or do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food? The body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. This is an argument from lesser to greater. And yet, and are you not more much more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious or worry, can add a single hour to his span of life? Why are you so worried or anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, the Lord Jesus said, do not be anxious or do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Verse 34, therefore, do not be anxious. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So maybe the Apostle Paul remembered this teaching. That is why he said, do not worry. Do not be anxious about anything. The word worry there, actually it means unduly concerned. So it's a concern, but it's unduly concerned. And what is more interesting there is the word not. Because the word not there in Greek, it means nothing. So sometimes we are just worrying about nothing. You get it? What we worry about is nothing. That is why one scholar said, Vernon McGee, he translated this literally when he said, worry about nothing, pray about everything. I hope we remember that. Worry about nothing because it's nothing. And pray about everything. What does he mean by that? McGee said, nothing is nothing. And you are to worry about nothing. Does this mean we are to look at life through rose-colored glasses? That we are not to face reality? Are we to believe that sin is not real? That sickness is not real? That problems are not real? Are we to ignore these things? No. He said, the reason we are to worry about nothing is because we are to pray about everything. This means that we are to talk to the Lord about everything. Take note of that. Everything in our lives. Nothing should be left out. Do not worry. That is why the Bible says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Actually, the verb here is the verbal phrase, let your requests be made known to God. How are we going to do that? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So notice here the Apostle Paul said, prayer, supplication, requests. Actually, it carries almost the same meaning. It is for emphasis. He is actually repeating himself so that we will not miss what he is trying to say to us, what the scripture is trying to say to us. He is really putting emphasis that instead of you worrying, spending time worrying, you should pray. Now, this is what the Apostle Paul is trying, or the scripture is trying to say to us. The word requests there, it means to ask for. Based on the original language, the focus is on the content of what you are asking. Meaning, whatever you need, whatever is bothering you, tell it to God. Whatever it is, whatever it is in your heart. Remember, alam naman ni Lord yan eh. Huwag na natin itago yan. Naminsan ayaw mo sabihin, alam naman niya yan eh. But what he wants us to do is, everything that is in your heart, let it be made known to God. Pray to him. God is sovereign. He knows everything. That even before we ask, he already knows what we need. But why do we need to tell him our needs? Why did Paul said, let your requests be made known to God? Because remember that we have a personal God. Meaning he is the God who wants to commune with us. Therefore, let us commune with him. Even though he knows everything, he still wants us to talk to him. So it is a privilege, my dear brothers and sisters, to pray, to commune with the Lord. The command here is actually for our benefit. It's not for the Lord. Whatever burdens you, say it to the Lord. Ano mangyayari nun, di ba? Ikaw rin naman yung magagaanan kapag nasabi mo na kung ano yung bigatin mo. So the benefit actually falls on us. We know that our God, he is the God who hears us and answers our prayer. God is encouraging us to come to him. He is not a distant God. He is near us. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is near us. Therefore, let us pray. Prayer means to make requests known to God. This is prayer here, it's just in a general sense. So whatever that is in your heart, you pray. And from general, look at what the Apostle Paul will do. He will now move to supplication. Because the word supplication means urgent requests to meet a need. Prayer speaks of more of a general sense of prayer. Supplication, this is more of a request of a need, a specific need. So from general to specific, take note, it's our need, not our greeds. There's a big difference between those two words, okay? We will make our requests, our needs, it will be made known to God. Our needs. That is what supplication means here in this context. Yes, our God is gracious. He is generous that even sometimes, church, even sometimes he provides our wants, not just our needs. How much more that he will provide our needs? So once we say our prayer, when we pray to God, let's pray in a general sense, but we need to move from general to specific, our specific needs. And it says there, supplication with thanksgiving. Now, why with thanksgiving? Because the word thanksgiving there, it means to express gratitude for the blessing. What is its significance? It means it is in anticipation of God's answer. Because every time we pray, let me tell you, God answers our prayer. God answers our prayer. But the problem sometimes is that we just don't like his answer. That is why we thought that God did not answer my prayer. He did. So that is why the Apostle Paul said, hey, give your request to God with thanksgiving. Because right there and then, you should thank him. Look at what Vernon McGee said on this note. He said, what he, the Apostle Paul, says is that when you make your requests right there and then, you are to thank God for hearing and answering your prayer. You may have prayed for a certain thing and didn't get it, But you did get an answer to your prayer. Ayaw lang natin ng answer. Okay. Now, when it comes to God's answer, God definitely always answers our prayer. And let me just share to you His answer. I got this from the book, Too Busy Not to Pray by Bill Hybels. And he said, if the request is wrong, so the answer of God is no. So may answer ba? Wala. Meron, di ba? So thank Him. Kasi may answer naman. Di ba? If the timing is wrong, God says, slow. Teka muna. Baka may kailangan pang ayusin sa character natin bago niya ibigay yung answer. So may answer pa rin si Lord. If you are wrong, God says, grow. Diba? Ayusin muna natin yung sarili natin. Tama ba yun? And lastly, if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says, go. So His answer is yes. So definitely, all of our prayer, actually, God has an answer. So we should thank Him. So when we pray, included in our prayer is thanksgiving. Because definitely, He answers our prayer. He answers our prayer. Now, what can we learn from this? Why worry when you can pray? Why worry when you can pray? But here's the reality. Yes, we pray. Yes, we lay down everything before the Lord. We tell Him our problem. But after prayer, what do we do? Do we trust Him? Perhaps like me, after you pray, after you lay down everything at His feet, after prayer, you start picking it up again. That's why we worry. After, okay, Lord, I lay down before You everything. Here's what is in my heart. You lay down everything. And after you say, amen, okay, Lord, I'll pick it up again. The end result is we worry. Why not just when you lay down, let go, and trust Him with everything. Don't pick it up again. Once you lay down everything before the Lord, let Him handle it. He can handle that. He is our sovereign God. So pray. Why worry when you can pray? Last week, I told you that I will undergo CT urogram, right? Okay, tama ba? 10 a.m. 3 p.m. service, I learned that they will use catheter. So in the 3 p.m. service, I shared that I am now thinking if I will still go through urogram. 10 a.m., during that time, yes, I will go. I will proceed with CT urogram to check my kidney. And then 3 p.m., I am now thinking if I will still go through the process because of the catheter. Okay. At 5 p.m. service, my mind is made up that I will no longer go through urogram because of the catheter. Because I'm worried about the catheter. So even at night time, during last Sunday, night time, I was so worried about the catheter that I shared this to my peer mentor, and he even told me, why are you so worrying so much about the catheter? Don't worry about the catheter. What is important is that your kidney will be checked so that once and for all, it will be known if your disease there is benign or malignant. Go through the process. Go, no. Masakit yun eh. Sabi ko, parang hindi ko ma-imagine talaga kung paano gagawin eh. Diba, hindi ko pa kasi na-experience eh. So, and even my wife told me, ano ka ba? Ako nga nung nanganak eh, isang araw na nakakatheter eh. Kaya mo yan. Sabi sa akin, eh ikaw yun. Sabi ko, gusto mo ikaw na lang. Diba? Ayoko. Sabi ko, ang hirap-hirap yan. Di bali na, ayoko na. Ayoko na talaga. Okay. So I was so worried that I slept, I think, around 12 midnight thinking about the catheter. And then, I woke up at 2 a.m. Diba? Naranasan nyo ba yung ganyan? When you are so worried, hindi ka talaga makatulog. Diba? Gising ka na naman. Pag-gising na pag-gising ko, nasa isipan ko yung catheter. Lord, ayoko talaga. Sabi ko, hindi ko talaga kaya to. That's it. Matutulog na lang ako. Okay na. And then, 4 o'clock, 4 a.m. again, I woke up again. Now, that time, hindi na ako makatulog. Okay? So, ang inisip ko na lang, okay, sige. Bahala na. Sige na nga, I will go through. And during that time, it's Monday. Remember, there's an, I think there's an all-star, di ba? NBA. Sinasike up ko na lang yung sarili ko. Sabi ko, di ba, maya-maya na lang, makikita ko na yung sarili ko, nanonood na ng NBA all-star. Ibig sabihin, tapos na. So yun na lang ang iniisip ko na, maya-maya lang, nandun na. Ibig sabihin, tapos na, okay na. Di ba, yung sakit, hindi ko na maiisip. Yun na lang iniisip ko. So, around 7 a.m., we went to a medical city here in Paseo. Tinanong ko na ngayon yung mag-arrange, di ba? Kasi nandun, diba? Bigay mo lahat, everything, papers. And then I ask yung person doon, are you the one who will assist me in Eurogram? Who will assist doon yung gawa ng computer? Yes. Yes, sir, I will be the one who will assist you in injecting the contrast. Noon, nung sinabi niya yung contrast, tinanong ko na, may catheter ba, di ba, na-involve? Eh, ayaw sumagot ka agad. Hindi ka inintindi, di ba? Teka lang po, sir. Ano muna, ayusin ko muna itong mga papers niyo. Ayaw pa akong sagutin nito, ah. Pag-upo niya ulit, tinanong ko ulit, meron bang catheter? Sabi ko. Kasi kailangan kong malaman kung may catheter o wala. Ano bang gagamitin mo? And then he just smiled on me and said, wala pong catheter, sir. It will the medicine or the contrast will be injected via IV. When he said those words, nakahinga na akong maluwag. Yes, let's proceed. Sabi ko, let's go. Kahit sabi, kaya sir, medyo matataga. Okay lang yan. Sabi ko, gusto mo 2 hours akong hihiga dyan eh. Okay na ako. Because sabi niya, IV lang pala. Ay, medyo masakit po yan. Okay lang yan. Sabi ko, okay na ako dyan. Kasi yung iniisip ko, mas masakit pa. Okay na ako dyan sa gagawin mo. Go, let's proceed. So indeed, tama yung survey. That 90 totaling of 97% of what we worry about never happened. Kaya nga, nung nagkakwentuhan po ulit kami nung aking peer mentor, sabi niya, kita mo na, sinayang mo yung buong gabi mo. Imbis na natulog ka ng maayos. Oo nga naman. Diba? Eh, we all know that if we sleep well, our body regenerates. Eh, di hindi ngayon nag-regenerate. Double whammy ako, diba? Nag-worry na ako sa nothing, nasira pa katawan ko, kaka-stress ko. Diba? May sakit na nga ako. And besides, the result, it's benign. Okay, so we praise the Lord for that. So I'm so worried about those things, and the Lord just said, why worry when you can pray? Just pray, because at the end of the day, you can do nothing about it. And it's benign, although the doctor said that it's already 4.3 centimeters. When it grows to 6 centimeters, he needs to remove it. But I don't worry about it anymore. Because now I understand that instead of worrying about these things, we should pray. So if you have worries right now, let me encourage you, my dear brothers and sisters. The Bible says, why worry? Why worry when you can pray? When you can pray. Pray to God. Now, what are we going to do? Okay, here's what we will do. Again, on Sunday, remember you, did you get this little booklet? Meron kayo nito, di ba? So ito yung gagawin natin. Let's be intentional when it comes to prayer. Okay, as an application, let's start praying tonight or even tomorrow. Let's start praying, and then let's let it be a practice, a lifetime practice to us. Let's be more prayerful, because this is the prayer of the leaders, that this church, GCF Nuvali, will become a praying church. Okay, so let's start by praying. So you have a devotion here, starting tomorrow up to Saturday. Okay, so each day, and also if you like to do fasting, we have some guidelines here. You can read about the guidelines about fasting. By the way, if you have some condition, please ask your doctor first, okay, before going through fasting. Okay, so, and it's also at the back, you can see the instructions or the guidelines on how we do the fasting. But this is actually a guide for us. So let us be intentional, okay, when it comes to prayer. And also, this is what I want you to do, okay? I want you to grab a notebook later tonight. Okay, once you go home, grab a notebook or a pad paper. Okay, at the first column, you write all the things that you are worrying about. Can we do it? Can we do that? Okay, let's just write everything that we worry about, and then let's start praying about it. Let's start laying it down at the feet of our Lord, and then once God answered you, write it down also. In that way, you can see that indeed our God is faithful. He is our faithful God. He is the God who hears and answers our prayer. Can we do it? Pwede ba yan? Mamaya, yan ang gagawin natin as an application. And let it be a habit to us. That is what we also call journaling. So let's start to journal. Instead of worrying, let's write it down and let's pray about it. And just like what McGee said, worry about nothing, but pray about everything. And remember, on March 3, okay, what are we going to do on March 3? Nalimutan nyo na. Diba? We will be here, okay? We will pray, okay? As a church, okay? So on Saturday, 2 p.m., let's be here and let's pray as a church. So the order that was given by the scripture to us is instead of worrying, we should pray. Now, what will be the outcome? Look at the outcome or the result when we pray. It says here, and the peace of God. Okay? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here's the promise that was given by the Apostle Paul to the Philippians, that when they pray, instead of worrying, he said, the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. What is the word peace means? Okay, one of the nuances in the original language, peace means to be without trouble or to have no worries. That is why the Apostle Paul uses that word. Actually, the Greek word is eirene. So if you like to name, if you are pregnant right now, if it's a girl, you can name her Irene or Eirene because it means peace. Okay, and it means to have no worries. So what is the significance of this word? When we pray, instead of worrying, the Lord will give us His peace. He will calm our mind, a sense of security in His presence. Because remember, when we are worrying, we are so troubled, right? Our minds are troubled. But when we pray, we will have a calm mind, serenity. Instead of stress, we will have serenity. Hindi yung serenity na binibenta dyan, di ba? Peace, tranquility. Okay? One commentary said, peace in the Bible is never merely the absence of strife and trouble. In this type of context, peace may be rendered in some languages as sitting down in one's heart or not running around in one's mind. So church, instead of us meditating in our mind the things that really bothered us or bothering us right now, it gives us stress. So instead of us worrying, let's start praying. Let's start praying. And let me just remind you that this peace starts by having peace with God. Before you can have the peace of God, you should be at peace with God. And my friend, if this is your first time here in GCF Nuvali, let me tell you that there is only one way for you to be at peace with God. Meaning for you to have a relationship with God. And that is only through Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me, says the Lord. And the Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works so that no one may boast. So my friend, you cannot be saved, you cannot be at peace with God by your works. It is only through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So my prayer is that may the Holy Spirit make this thing understand, may this open your hearts and your minds to understand this thing. Because the only way, again, for you to be at peace with God so that you can enjoy the peace of God is only through Jesus Christ. You can only be saved by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now for us who are already in Christ, Paul said, this peace comes from the Lord. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Surpasses means that we cannot fully fathom how God can do it. That when we are worried, that once we pray, that we will be at peace. Because only God can do it. That's why He is asking us to pray. You want the peace of mind? Then pray. Instead of worrying about things that we cannot control, tomorrow we don't know what will happen tomorrow. So instead of worrying about tomorrow, let's start praying today. And the result is that the peace of God will guard. Okay, the word guard our hearts and our minds. Okay, the word guard there, it means to provide or to protect. That is why ESV Study Bible says, Paul's use of guard may reflect his own imprisonment or the status of Philippi as a Roman colony with a military garrison. In either case, it is not the Roman soldiers who guard believers. It is the peace of God Almighty. Because God is sovereign and in control, take note of this, believers, church, Joseph Nuvali, Christians can entrust all, okay, not some, but all their difficulties to Him who rules over all creation and who is wise and loving in all His ways. Pray. Why worry? Why worry when you can pray? In closing, let me just share this to you, a story. There's this pastor who had been in a long flight, okay, from one place to another. And the first warning of the approaching problems came when the sign on the airplane flashed, "Fasten your seatbelt." Okay, for those of you who have already been on the plane, we all know this, that when we face a turbulent, signage will be on, "Fasten your seatbelt." And then there's this convoy said, "We shall not be serving beverages at this time as we are expecting little turbulence. Please be sure your seatbelt is fastened." Now, as he looked around the aircraft, it became obvious that many of the passengers were becoming apprehensive. And then later on, the voice of the announcer said, "We are so sorry that we are unable to serve the meal at this time. The turbulence is still ahead of us." And then the storm broke. Okay? The cracks of thunder could be heard even above the roar of the engines. Lightning lit up the darkened skies, and within moments, that great plane was like a cork tossed around on a celestial ocean. And we all know if you experience turbulence, diba? Wala magagawa yung pilot doon. Talagang gaganyan ang gaganyan yung airplane. Okay? So yun yung nararanasan nila. Now, the pastor confessed that he shared his discomfort and fear of those around him. Take note, it's already a pastor. Okay? And then he said, "As I looked around the plane, I could see that nearly all the passengers were upset and they were all alarmed. Some were even praying. The future seems ominous and many were wondering if they would make it through the storm. Then," he said, "suddenly I saw a little girl. Apparently, the storm meant nothing to her. She had tucked her feet beneath her, and as she sat on her seat, she was just reading a book, calmly reading a book. Sometimes," the pastor says, "she will close her eyes, and then she will again open her eyes, and she will just calmly read a book." Now, after the plane landed, it was finally landed, so all the passengers, they were all hurrying to disembark. Pastor lingered to speak to the little girl whom he had watched for a long time. Having commented about the storm and the behavior of the plane, he asked why she had not been afraid. Na-curious si Pastor, di ba? Relax na relax ka. And then the child replied, she said, "Because my daddy is the pilot. He's taking me home." Church, there are so many kinds of turmoil that we can worry about. But remember, our God, He is the pilot. He can take us home. So why be afraid? If we have the Almighty driving our lives, we are afraid because we are the one who is driving our lives. But if we will let Him drive our lives, so why be afraid? All those storms, why be afraid of them? If God is the pilot, because definitely He can land us safely. He can bring us home. So why worry when you can pray? Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. Indeed, Lord, this is a very encouraging words coming from You. So I just pray, Father, for each one of us here, especially, Lord, for my brothers and sisters who are right now, they are experiencing difficulties in their lives. I may not know them, Lord, but you know them by name. Lord, you are our pilot. You know, we know, Lord God, that you can bring us home. You can land us safely. Therefore, Lord, we will put our trust in you. Lord, from now on, Lord, we will not worry, because we understand that it's a command. That if it is a command, Lord, it's a sin to worry. So therefore, Lord, we will stop worrying and we will start praying. So I just pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to move mightily in our midst, to encourage us, all of us here in this place, to become more and more prayerful. That instead of worrying about things, we will just pray about everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.